Hi, I'm Keith and the Girls, Keith Malley.
And I'm Hamda.
Welcome to My Opening Line, where we talk to some of your favorite artists about their very first times performing. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. You don't know how they're still alive, but they are. And it's very exciting. Make sure first you're subscribed to the free Laughable app. Go to laughable.com. Download this app and you can subscribe not only to podcasts, you know how to do that, but you can subscribe for free to the person.
Yeah, because it feels like everyone has a podcast now. Believe it or not, they don't. Some people just make really good guests on podcasts. So it's hard to follow that because you can't subscribe to a guest on iTunes or Google Play or anything. So here you can subscribe to the guest. Anytime that person goes on a different show, you can follow which podcast you can find them on.
That's right.
Oh. Yeah.
Today, by the way, that O came from one of my favorite guests, one of my favorite performers, one of the funniest people without exaggeration.
Oh, for sure.
That I've met in my entire life. Ladies and gentlemen, creator of The Key of Awesome, Mark Douglas.
Howdy.
You were great on Keith and the Girl. Very exciting. Thank you. Still got it.
Yes. Your voice is amazing. I know that.
Oh, thanks. It's coming from you, a singer.
Well, thank you. But your parodies are very, very funny. I don't really always laugh that hard and that consistently and throughout a parody song because you kind of get the gist after the first chorus usually. You are brilliant. But not only that, I'm like, wow, he's really singing. He's really singing and he's singing in other people's voices perfectly. I'm in awe. I love it. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
5.4 million subscribers on your YouTube channel, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Videos reaching over 100 million views easily.
One of them, yeah.
That's right.
So modest.
The other one's 99.
Right, right.
Well, make sure you keep yourself grounded. That's perfect. So I want to talk about how a Mark Douglas gets everything started. When you're a kid, do you find yourself doing impressions?
Yeah, that was the first thing that I ever started to do. I think that kind of I realized I could do voices. And my mom was cool enough that she would let me curse as long as I was doing a movie, quoting a movie. So there's this movie called The Pope of Greenwich Village with Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts. And Mickey Rourke was he kind of had this thing really down low like it was almost a little kind of girly voice, He thought, what the fuck is wrong with you, Paulie? And then Eric Roberts was like, I just ain't never seen no horse with his legs and no garbage can. And I would do that for my mom at age 8 or something.
Because
I would
watch
these movies I wasn't supposed to, but I would do the voices.
Is she doing it to encourage you to do this craft or she just found it charming?
I think she just... Yeah, I mean, there was not nobody in my family was into the arts.
Okay.
Really. It was kind of why doesn't the boy want to play football?
Because he does lovely impressions.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you didn't like sports growing up in my town, then you were just gay.
Right. Well, when you were in high school, did people know that you were an artist of sorts? Were there talent shows?
I started to become, yes, I did. There was a thing, it was called Mr. Lancer because we were the Lee Lancers.
Okay. Where was this?
I went to Robert E. Lee High School, Springfield, Virginia. And for some reason, they started this weird tradition of having this show called Mr. Lancer. And they would do it in the template of a beauty pageant. But it was that was just sort of the format. So you would go up and you would do a little speech, but it was a poem. So I was Mr. Marky Mark because right. Marky Mark was big at the time.
Okay.
And it ended with me dropping trowel because he would always do that.
Oh, wow. And your school let you do that?
Well, I didn't let them know that I was going to do that until I didn't do it at the dress.
Was that the first time you were on stage?
I think it was the first time I was on stage with a lot of people and there was stakes involved, I was in Brighton Beach Memoirs, but,
for what?
We didn't for in drama class, but there was an audience for that, but it wasn't small.
This was you creating.
This was the whole school.
This is you creating for the whole school.
Yeah.
You had to write the poem.
And there was and then we had to write sketches, and then I did a John Travolta impression just basically from Saturday Night Fever.
Let's hear a little.
I think the only thing I ended up saying was I walk a long time on my hair and he hits my hair. The basic kind of Vinnie Barbarino kind of Travolta. Not like at some point he went from that to like, ooh, Oprah and I are best friends. Like right. he got this weird like lockjaw thing where he's.
I like how you act like we don't know how he talks that way. A little too much face work. How do you end up that way? Of course, that's how.
What?
I didn't even think of that.
His face was pulled back so much. Oh,
from the face work. But it's like a lot of, it's lockjaw somehow. I don't know where he got that.
He said, keep pulling. Like, well, we're the same age. Would classmates know Saturday Night Fever? I wouldn't.
Well, the theme of the show was 70s. So we were like going back.
Okay. And you realize, and you win, I assume.
Yes, I did.
Of course.
And there was a short answer part where they had to ask you, there was a question and answer part at the end. And it were like to see how clever you were, like off the cuff.
Right.
And the whole school went nuts when I gave this answer. So one of the girls that was asking the questions to the dudes, she was like, what is the biggest disappointment that a girl has ever given you? And what's the biggest disappointment that you've ever given a girl? And I just said, my biggest disappointment, or I said, biggest disappointment by a girl was you asking me that question. And my biggest disappointment to a girl will be to you by not answering it. Goosh, mic drop. And it wasn't that clever. I just did it like really quick and left. And people were like, oh, shit. We're in high school and that's good enough for us.
Right. Either do that or make a sexual innuendo in your tops.
Yeah, but it was... So, you know, so I won.
By the way, Robert E. Lee High School, this is a true story. This is happening right now in the news. They're changing their name finally.
Which one? There's a bunch.
Oh, are there?
The one in Springfield, Virginia?
I'm not sure the one where. I didn't know there's a lot. That's a common name.
Yeah, in Dazed and Confused, they go to Robert E. Lee High School.
Oh, okay.
In Texas.
Okay, so there is a Robert E. Lee High School, and they're taking requests from the public. And of course, you know, never do that. And there's many votes right now for the Adolf Hitler School of Love and Tolerance. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if that's your school.
But you always shorten a school name. So I go to the Hitler School.
Right.
Josef Mengele Middle School. Mengele Middle School.
You know what it's going to say? The t-shirts. Adolf Hitler, L&T. No, yes. That part you write out.
Right.
So you realize, hey, this is your thing. You're an artiste, for God's sakes. When do you come to New York?
I came to New York in the summer of 95.
95, okay.
Yeah.
This is 20-some years ago, easily. I don't have a calculator.
It was a long time ago,
yeah. And when do you first perform on stage? With somebody else, as a group, or by yourself?
Okay, well, I'd gone to acting school and done a couple of like shitty plays. But the first like kind of significant... like performance, I think I was in a comedy duo with a guy named Rob Gordon, and we were part of like a sketch comedy show that was okay, but then we did a song called Crackhead Lover in the middle of it. It was just about a guy who slowly realizing that his girlfriend's a crackhead. Okay. Crack was big in the
90s,
late 90s. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember some of it? I brought a guitar.
Okay.
I think it's not that great, but,
it's not going to be that great because it's 25 years
ago. You know what I do like about it, though? It's got a good... It's almost one of those things where I'm bummed that I wasted this like riff on it because it has like a kind of sitting on the porch kind of like... You know, like that kind of thing. And then it does this. But it's like she's my crackhead lover. So here, you can do the background voice.
Okay.
It's a crackhead lover.
Crackhead lover.
Okay, so. Okay. So she's my crackhead lover. Hold on. Crackhead lover. So like that.
Crackhead lover.
She's my crackhead lover.
I missed it again.
Yeah, Jesus. Anyway, it wasn't that funny, but I remember the one line. It was like... All of the spoons in the house are bent. She stole all my money, now we can't pay the rent. Cause she's my crackhead lover.
Crackhead lover.
Pretty close. Well, I also had a song about a kid who looked at his asshole in the mirror. And it was like, and it looks at me. Asshole in the mirror. Yeah.
soul in the mirror. Yeah. And he hasn't even noticed that his father has opened the door.
Anyway, this. What his dad catches him looking at his asshole in the mirror.
Yeah, I put it together. When you're...
And then we had a song.
Do you remember the first time you jerked off?
Yeah. Everybody's got a jerk off song.
You got to start with that.
Masturbation song.
Well, that's all the earliest stuff, right?
Yeah,
Stand-up and everything. You know, you brought up a point in your early stand-up. You know, before there was porn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The first time I did stand-up. Because I had done, we were doing the duo thing, and we actually did pretty well. I was able to woo my wife because she saw us perform Karate Kid, the musical.
What's the big number in that?
Oh, there was one I was like, I hate this place. I hate this place. Why can't we just go home? Because I'm tired of getting my ass kicked every day. Karate I learned ain't worth a damn, cause I learned at the YMCA. I hate this place. And then Mr. Miyagi shows up and they have a whole training song.
He's like, got to clean a bunch of shit.
He's like, lesson one, wax my car. Lesson two, paint my house.
They were very literal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then it had like a little...
No.
Yeah,
it was a different time.
It was a different time. But then I did stand up solo at Jess Wood's show. She used to do at Three of Cups. I had a bit about that. I was okay. It was a decent observation. It was like,
first of all, why did you pick that open mic? Why did you decide to go solo?
It was like I had never performed stand up by myself. Ever.
So you're just kind of giving it a go?
Wanting to do it, you know, just to kind of.
But you dissolve the duo. Who has to break the news to the other one?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like when you're in a duo, you're like creatively, you are like married, essentially.
That's true.
Yeah. Career wise, you're married.
Right. So do you do.
So, you know, we gave it a nice run and then I was like, you know, it's starting to kind of. Get to the point where maybe people sometimes will want to hire one of us, but they don't want to make the other one feel weird.
Right.
You know,
do you have to do it in a public place, but not a place that's going to be ruined for them for life?
Yeah, I did it after we performed a gig. So the whole gig, I'm like thinking,
that's like doing, that's like breaking up with somebody right after sex.
I agree. I was going to say the same thing.
Man, that felt good. Yeah, it did, but...
Yeah, we were so good together, but...
And you're being an asshole because you're on stage giving it extra, knowing it's the final performance.
He's like, he's phoning it in. He's like, no, that this is it.
you didn't have to do that.
No, it sucked. I mean, no, we're still friends, and it...
Just, no, I wish him well. Yeah.
You just kind of reach a point where it's like, we've done enough. We've done everything we could with this. But I had this bit about how... The stand-up bit was about, I bet a lot of people didn't masturbate at desks prior to the invention of the internet.
That's true.
Because it's just, you know, it's not like you would, an old person, like, get out their little roll-top desk and look at a
magazine and get to work.
When's the last time you used your imagination?
Right.
To just whack off.
For what?
I don't know.
I think Mark's waiting for an answer, Keith.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have porn on speed dial. What am I going to do?
Well, but that makes me wonder about, you know, are kids less creative now?
Because they don't have porn.
Have to, like, come up with this weird scenario involving their friend's mom. And,
right. You're acting like our imaginations went to such clever spaces. It was your mom, my countertop, the end. There wasn't more to it.
Well, I had a friend. We had this one friend who was like, the mom was hot. It was kind of like Stifler's mom. And she would just always be like laying out in the backyard and stuff,
right?
Getting a tan because people just used to lay out and bake in the sun.
Yeah, we didn't even put sunscreen. We actually put suntan oil.
To attract it. And one time, she cut hair, and I was like, "Would your mom ever give me a haircut?" And it was like, "Yeah, I guess." Like, do I have to pay her? And I was like, "Yeah, just do something like mow the lawn or whatever." And that just sent me off.
Right.
I'm going to mow the lawn. Right. And then come in. Hey, I'm done with the lawn.
Oh, you look a little sweaty, sweetheart.
No, it's not even that. She's like, I'm upstairs.
She doesn't even offer you a drink?
She's like, there's lemonade or there's iced tea in the fridge. And then I get the iced tea and then I go upstairs. And
what do you start with? Go slow.
It involves the lemonade and the iced tea or whatever.
You notice they used to call it sundae.
But anyway, I'm saying I had a whole thing.
How did it go over? Oh, sorry, your stand-up, not the...
Oh, I didn't fuck my friend's mom. But in my mind, it was great. It went over great.
Let's say you're doing stand-up and you see it's not going well. You can quickly switch to something else. When you're doing a song and you're a minute in and it's not going over and you have 3 more minutes to go, you're stuck.
That's why you kind of got to give your... I found that out early on because like if you got... basically, you got to keep them short.
Right.
Like
in and out.
As short as the videos are on YouTube, for stand up, they should be even shorter.
Okay.
Like a minute and a half maybe is about as long as you want to go. But like that medley I did earlier, if that was tanking, I could just not do it.
You were doing on Keith and Girl, you were doing different singer to the next.
Yeah, I could chunk right. I could be like, all right, this middle one's not gonna work. And right. Just be like, all right, and just skip to the end. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot of songs that just have out points where it's like if the audience just is in it, it's like, yeah, thanks.
Are people, when it comes to heckling, are people more vocal when you were a musician? Because it's more a party atmosphere? Are they more free to say
they're not as bad, but when they are, it's harder to, it's harder to deal with.
Have you ever been booed off stage, perhaps?
Oh, yeah. Once we went, you ever been to those gigs that I like to call it inflicting comedy?
Oh, where it's like, yes.
Oh, so you're going to have a show tonight? Yeah, we just put the mic over there and the patrons, they're watching the game, but we'll turn off the TV maybe or turn down the sound. And,
right.
So it was one of those things. And people were just not into us at all. And it got to the point where I was like, fuck it. I think I want to get booed off. And like they were yelling like Freebird, which I know how to play. So I just was like, let's do Freebird. And I was just like doing the whole thing. And they were like, get the fuck off the stage. Like
it was a
where
joke.
They were approaching. And so we finally were like, okay, bye-bye. I would say that's getting booed off stage where it's like you feel like if you stay, you're going to get beat up.
I yell Freebird. You don't be sarcastic and play Freebird.
I always want to do that with every band, like every band I was ever in. I was like, let's learn Freebird really well.
It's important.
So that when somebody yells it out, we're going to play the whole fucking thing. Like just.
Right. When you walk around, will you the way we, a regular person, would hum or sing a song, do you find yourself doing impressions of famous people? Either just to make sure you still got the chops or, hey, let me try this new thing out.
I tend to just do, it's like you have these little toys that you're playing with. Like, I kind of want to do a show called Voices My Wife Can't Stand. Yes. like, the one is Sensitive Ray Winstone. You know Ray Winstone? He's like, he's a guy, like, he talks like this. He sort of sounds like, what's his name? Jason Statham. But he's in, he's in this movie, Sexy Beast.
Yes.
But he's on, I'm always like, darling, please, let me just, whatever I can do to make up for lost time. I just want us to be together again, like it used to be. And because there's a couple of movies where he gets sensitive, but he's got this, fucking ridiculous voice.
Honestly, that's hot, and I would make you use that in bed if I was your wife.
All right, then.
have you done those voices in bed? Having sex? Throw one out?
No, I tend to not bring it in there. I tend to be fairly silent.
Okay.
I had a girlfriend way back who wanted me to talk,
Yeah.
And I found it difficult to keep going.
Yeah. You have to come up with so much material.
Yeah, you got to come up with stuff. Just say... You're just like, you're a fucking idiot. I don't like the way you order in restaurants.
I'd be having sex and I hear, you can do whatever you want. And I'm like,
I'm doing it.
This is it.
It's going in. It goes in, it goes out. It goes in, it goes out. We're on a bed. It's comfy.
That's like my favorite.
It's, yeah.
Do you need a desk?
You know?
I wish I had your skill. I think playing guitar and singing is one is a superpower.
Well, you know, it's...
If only they had classes. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
How does one learn to do? I mean, it is nice. I'm sad that, like, coming up, growing up, that, like, that's mainly what I use YouTube for, is, like, watching, like, tutorials and stuff. Because right. there's all these fucking amazing dudes, and I'll just dork out and watch a guitar video and learn a dumb little trick or, you know.
What made you, after you tried stand-up and you were working with a guitar, start the Key of Awesome?
Well, I had started working with Barely Political, who they were like one of the first YouTube channels that had like, were making viral videos or made a viral video on purpose. Mm. It wasn't just like, hey, this dog is a skateboard. Let's upload that. Maybe people will like it. Oh my God. But this guy, Ben Rellis, like, made this song about Obama. It was kind of before anybody knew who he was, like, as widely as it became. And it was this girl singing about having a crush on Obama. And then at the time, there was this company called Next New Networks, which is like an early MCN multi-channel network, like Maker. I don't know if you're familiar with these things.
But love anyway, them.
Anyway, it was kind of like an early version of that. So it was like a bunch of people just had money and they were just funding this thing because they were like, yeah, there's money on the internet. So right. let's support these like YouTube channels. So
and it was huge, that video.
It was politics and boobs.
Right.
Was the formula. And it worked. But he got money to like make this channel. Suddenly he's got to come up with all this material. So I came in just to do like a voiceover thing. And I think the first thing it was like, I did like John Edwards and Bill Clinton and like Rudy Giuliani. Just these like little, we would do these like fake phone calls, you know.
Can you still do Bill Clinton?
Bill's kind of just as in your throat as you can get.
Right.
But you got to have a little bit of a grin, you know.
It's all a joke, right, Bill?
It's all like, you know, but you cannot get more raspy. You can't go too raspy with Bill.
Right.
And he's always kind of about to laugh at something.
Can I ask Happy-Go-Lucky Bill a question?
Oh, sure, yeah.
So you come out with that fictional book with, I believe it was James Patterson. And, of course, it's the time of the Me Too movement, right. And they bring up Monica Lewinsky. Uh-huh. All a reporter.
Now listen, this is what you people do. You bring me on here,
right?
And then you sandbag me with this shit.
Okay, well I just figured.
No, I feel really like he gets like
Bill's pissed.
Lately, he's getting a little
cranky.
But James Patterson's next book is going to be about that publicity tour for the other book, like trapped in a. This was trapped in an interview.
This is always planned. Everybody knows not to read.
We used to have a James Patterson bit where, because it was all of his stuff was like Kiss the Girls, and it was based on these like
spider.
So we had it was like in our next, it's a song or a book about murder on the Orient Express. Like me Chinese, me play joke, me put pee pee in your coke, or it was just all of these like. I can't. It was stupid. Sorry. It was insensitive, but not worth bringing up.
Will you show? Do you show vulnerability like this on stage? Where you'll say, "Sorry, never mind, forget it."
I love to bail. I'm the king of bailing out.
You don't mind?
Yeah, you know.
So now you.
How did it get to the Key of Awesome?
Oh, okay. So I was like, this is cool. You guys are, you know, this is my dream job. You guys are just making stuff and. You know, putting it on YouTube and people are seeing it. And I was like a hotel bellman at the time, ready to just like put a gun in my mouth. Not like the happy guy you see before you now.
Right, right.
So I just, you know, they brought me in because I knew I could do some voices. So I was like, I got songs too. You know, I can write songs, I can write sketches. So I just started giving them every idea I had and kind of pushed my way in. And then for like a year we did political stuff, which is not exactly my forte. But then when once Obama got elected, it sort of like, okay, now what do we do? Because what we were doing was all leading up to that event.
Right.
So then Ben, who's still under the channel at the time, was like, what if you were to just make a series that, you know, catered to your strengths? And I was like, it would just make funny songs about like pop culture, maybe. But I wasn't going to do parodies. I was going to maybe do like sound alike kind of things.
Right.
So then that was the Key of Awesome. We started doing that. And then when I saw people getting away with making really shitty parodies on YouTube and still getting millions of hits just because of the search traffic, I was like, well, I think I could make a funnier parody than that. And that was the TikTok Kesha one. And then that's the one that like blew up. So yeah. It was like, okay, I guess I have to do more of these now. But it was fun. I liked doing it for a while, but after a while,
159 million views on that TikTok parody.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you. And barely political. Are they still around?
No, we changed the name. Eventually, like, it didn't make sense. And Key of Awesome kind of overshadowed that.
Okay.
So I changed the name to Key of Awesome.
But you still have all these videos are your videos. Mm-hmm. How great is that?
That's great. pay the rent.
Yeah. When's the last time you had the bellboy? Not for a bit, right?
Well, I didn't have to.
Would you even?
I didn't realize bellboy was a verb. Like,
right. No, I
like the way you bellboy.
I'd be so sick of being a bellboy, I wouldn't even help somebody carry groceries. You know, I'd be like, no.
And a lot of it was a really small hotel, and a lot of it was like, so it was kind of being a doorman too. Right. So I'd be out in the snow trying to like hail cabs for people and stuff.
Did you wear a hat? Was it a bellboy hat?
No. It was actually kind of a cool hotel. It's called Morgan's Hotel on 37th and Madison. And it was like...
You ever visit to say hi?
It's closed now. Mm. But for some reason, it was like... Because it was sort of tucked away and didn't have a number or a sign on the door. Like, I don't know if like publicists or whatever knew that it was a good place for people to kind of lay low if they had to be in the city. So like, Nick Nolte stayed with us. Like, you know that... mugshot of him.
Yeah, with the hair all over.
Yeah, that version of Nick Nolte stayed with us. And he was just as insane as you like would want him
to be. That's fun.
Like he was just like, hey, I need like he and his friend had like rented guitars, like they had gotten fucked up the night before and been like, let's rent some guitars and jam. And then so the next day, like the rental company's coming to pick up the stuff and he's like, yeah, I got guitars up here. Like I was like, we know I'm going to come get him. And then I come and he like stumbles out. He's like, I just never forget this name. It was such a great thing for Nick Nolte to say. It was like, Ben Troman has a guitar in his room too. Just Ben Troman.
So you're making these videos, $20,000 videos. They're taking up all your time. Sometimes.
The one that you mentioned was just done in my apartment for like nothing.
Okay, so what's the big deal then? Okay, good point. So anyway, sometimes he spent money, sometimes he didn't. But you go, okay, I need a little break. I'm churning out all this stuff. Sometimes the cost is equaling, you know, what the money that's coming in. And in February of this year, you put out a video. And it's, of course, it's music. It's very funny. We're closing in on a million hits on that, saying, hey, guys, I need a little break here.
Right, right.
Okay. Do you miss it? Do you want to do it again, but the time's not right? Because then it looked like you didn't really take a break. Because after you make a big deal out of it, you don't want to see Kiss on stage the next day.
Yeah, I miss a lot of it, but I don't, you know, I would rather move on to something else.
Right.
But, you know, when you kind of go stop from years of, I mean, because like I got here in 95 and, you know, it was a struggle for all those years to get anywhere.
Right.
And so then there's, you know, there's a good 10 years of just like, ugh, why am I even doing this? But I still am enjoying it. And then you get like a decent amount of following with like a comedy duo and that falls apart. So it's just like, and then to go like 10 years straight of just doing the YouTube thing just with hardly any break. I mean, you'd have breaks, but you know, you're on vacation, but you're still like looking at rough cuts and stuff, right. You know, like going in from the beach to, so it's just like, you're just never not thinking about how to like stay viral and stay, you know. And I think I just totally got burnt out. So I got to a point where I was like, do I even want to do comedy anymore? Especially with like, you know, I don't know. It just feels like people just sort of getting in trouble for like the smallest amount of shit.
Do you get nervous? Like, am I going to say a dumb thing or can you see the difference?
It's just that there's so much material out there. You know, that there's things that I'm not going to bring them up because I don't want to really, you know, there's things that, you know, you could point to and say, oh, this is really offensive or this is, you know, and maybe I wouldn't do those videos now, but there's just all this material out there. And it's just like, you're just waiting for somebody to like call you out and take, I just hate the whole like taking somebody's old jokes out of context. Right. And then, so I just started feeling kind of shitty about that kind of stuff. And I was like, maybe this is a good time to take a break from, you know, from this whole.
And you're not depressed from taking a break.
Oh, I'm always depressed.
Right. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So you can be either depressed and overworked or depressed and, you know, get to chill out.
Okay. I feel like this might be because we always ask everybody if they have any advice other than, you know, get on stage a lot, which is what a lot of comedians say, just get stage time. Do you have any advice? Would it be to just not get burnt out or?
What do you wish you knew specifically?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I feel like my whole like trajectory or whatever was so unique to me, you know, and I was like, starting the Key of Awesome was like, okay, this checks off all the boxes for me. Like, I don't know if I felt like I'm one of the better people who can do this exact thing. I've created a job for myself,
right?
You know? And so I think that like, you kind of have to don't let the audience push you around too much if it's at all possible, because I always felt like the pressure to do parodies of every popular thing that came out, because that, you know that that's what's going to like do well.
Right.
So it's like you might have your just funny idea about a song, but a funny idea for a song, but you're just like, ah, oh, fuck, One Direction came out with another thing. I know that's going to do well. So I think I fell into a little bit of a rut of doing that too much.
Okay.
You know, feeling like, you know, you got to keep it going. You got to stay relevant. And then I would be like, okay, then I'll do the little passion project video. Right. But then some other dumb thing would come out or Kanye would do something crazy. And it's like, oh, we got to cover that, you know? So like try to balance it out, you know, do one for them, one for yourself, or just do it all for yourself. And
or how about bi-weekly, right? Every two
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I think I might go back to maybe just putting out a video a month and then doing other things. Because it's just the YouTube grind. I mean, I've definitely, and I noticed people that started around the same time as I did, like Epic Rap Battles, those mm-hmm. guys, Epic Rap Battles, they're definitely, they kind of hit a wall too.
Okay.
And I've just noticed a few people that started around the same time as I did having some kind of either meltdown or divorce or something happened
right.
to kind of like fuck them up a little bit, you know, or they just went at it too hard and just got burnt out. Cause there's nobody, there's like, it's all kind of uncharted territory. There's no like, there's not a lot to compare it to. So you don't know. There's nobody telling you when to stop.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think all jokes aside, I was like, my mental health is starting to suffer. Yeah. So I'm going to stop.
Good. Good.
Don't be afraid to do that.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I did buy that guitar today. Do you mind leaving us with something, a little magic from Mark Douglas?
What have I got? Oh, okay. It's not still Shark Week, is it?
Let's say it is.
It's Shark Week somewhere.
All right. You guys are going to have to help me out with this one. So this is a very simple two-note chorus.
Crackhead lover.
Nope. It goes like that. Reggae shark. So you can do that at any point in the song.
Reggae shark.
Perfect.
Reggae shark.
Gonna tell you the story.
Reggae shark.
Of a reggae shark. There are hundreds of sharks living under the sea. Great whites, hammerheads, and white tip reefs. But the one shark discovery always leave out is the dreadlock rasta fish I'm talking about.
Reggae shark.
Reggae shark is real. Him got a band with the seals. Oh, he don't want to harm you. He just wants your ganja. Do you want me to do this whole thing?
I'm digging it.
After dark, reggae shark come cruising. Some say reggae shark's part human. Him was cursed by an evil jelly witch. Didn't have no reason, she was just a bitch. Some kids were boating and smoking a spliff.
Reggae Shark swam over to ask for a hit. The kid starts screaming and one of them drowned. Now the sheriff and his posse gonna hunt him down. And a one and a two, let me hear it from you.
Reggae Shark
got no political agenda.
Reggae Shark,
he just wants redemption.
Reggae Shark,
and he also wants ganja. But you can't light a spliff when you live underwater.
Reggae Shark.
Yeah, Reggae Shark. There's the whole story of Reggae Shark.
When you're when you start working on a song and you mm-hmm. have this idea about a shark becomes a reggae thing, and does your wife be like, yeah, I guess I'll see it when you're done?
Well, that was actually that was one of our bigger. That's probably one of the bigger original songs that went viral because we did an animated video for that. So. That was a big part of what made it work. It was just this guy, Kieran O'Hare. His animation was really funny and just matched the tone of it. But we were in Hawaii and on a snorkeling trip, like one of those boats where they take you out snorkeling.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter if you're in Hawaii, if you're in fucking Jersey. When you go out on one of those little things like that, one of the little boats, Bob Marley's legend,
sure.
or best of Bob Marley's always playing on those things. So we were coming back from the snorkel thing, which is really cool, and Bob Marley's playing, and they stopped the boat because one of the guys was like, I think we saw a shark. They like had spotted a shark, so everybody's like looking for the shark, and one of those Bob Marley songs was on, like Get Up, Stand Up or something, mm-hmm. and I was just like, in search of the reggae shark. Like I just started singing, like improvising a song about looking for the reggae shark. You know, it's probably wasted whatever but then later on stage was like the reggae shark's pretty funny, like,
right, who knows when magic hits, you know.
A lot of times it'll happen when you're on vacation, when you're not thinking about it.
So just, this is what
it's like Hamilton, you know,
if you have writer's block, go on vacation.
Yeah, or stop, you know,
right, we're stop doing it altogether.
That's a new lesson today, everybody. Right. Stop it. But you're right, yeah.
Right.
Because otherwise it will stop you somehow and you'll have a nervous breakdown.
Mark. Yeah, it's like when you stare at the blank page and you're like, and then you go for a walk and it all comes together. Yeah.
Mark Douglas on Twitter is MarkDouglas73. On Instagram, MDouglas73. I think he's one of the funniest people I know. You want to subscribe to the YouTube channel, The Key of Awesome, because right now the money is finally coming in and
right.
he gets to spend it.
Yeah, watch all those old ones.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, you can't, that's one of the nice things about music, as far as comedy goes, is you can re-listen or, mm-hmm. like, I've listened, like, there's some comedy specials like Delirious or whatever that I've seen a bunch.
Right.
But I probably haven't seen that or listened to it as much as I've listened to the Tenacious D album.
Sure, that makes sense.
You know, because, like, after a while, you're like, I'm not laughing anymore, but I just like these songs.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the nice thing about.
And do me a favor. Stuff. When you hear Mark's old stuff, let me specifically know, Keith Malley, what was insensitive and not right to say in 2018?
No, but it's like you don't even know. It's like I'm just like, I, you know, when you put that much material out there, it's like, I'm sure. I offended somebody at some point. And I'm going to be judged by all of that shit. And just like.
Well, I'm
looking
at the old song now. I hate the Chinese. I mean, I understand it was a different time, but you still have it out
but,
there.
But I mean,
all right, everybody. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Make sure you download the Laughable app. Click on Mark Douglas. See any show he's ever on, and we'll talk to you soon. And now the closing theme song. What you just heard was my opening line. Please subscribe and tell your friends. Go to myopeningline.com. Mm-hmm.